Hi, I'm Will Roadhouse, and I'm the CEO of Roadhouse International and Compass Group International, and welcome to my expat podcast. Today's podcast is a one-off, and I like to do these at least once a year because I have a lot of new listeners, and as you can see, I have a lot of episodes. Actually, believe it or not, you are only seeing really half of my episodes, which are maybe a little over two, maybe closer to 300, but I deleted half of my episodes that were older, that were more centered around Costa Rica, like Latin America, or even different things that doesn't relate to expat life or real estate investing. And they were hundreds of episodes. So I like to do these one-offs to let my new listeners know, how does my podcast differ from other podcasts about expat life or expat life here in Thailand? I really want to get into detail of why you should listen to my podcast, why you should subscribe, who are my listeners, where are they from, what are the demographics, and if you fit along these same demographics, and if you're like me, then you're going to want to subscribe to my podcast, because this is two decades of experience in doing just this, which is basically finding a piece of paradise. So I'm going to begin with a quick background of myself. And as usual, it's midnight, so it's a bewitching hour, and this is usually when I have time to do my podcast. My wife is asleep right now. I have a nice glass of Merlot. Excuse me one second. And my Merlot is a cheap Merlot. That I didn't finish. I kind of sat in the refrigerator. So what I do, if you're a wine drinker like me, instead of throwing out wine that's been sitting around for a while, what you do is just simply make a wine cooler. So take some sparkling water and add your wine, and voila, you have a nice simple wine cooler. So I have my wine cooler in my little trusty dusty Starbucks tumbler. Okay, so let's begin. Quick background of myself. I was the vice president of wealth management for a major financial institution in the United States. It's pretty much my first and only job going to this bank. So my background is a banker and in wealth management, managed close to $1 billion in assets in the late 90s. So in the late 90s, that was actually a lot of money. And right now people throw the B word, billions and billions of dollars, like it's nothing. But back then it was a lot of money. So it was about 900, 950 million under management with just a little over 100 high net worth families. So my background is in banking, asset management, working with very, very affluent clientele. So the 1%, the 0.1% of the United States. And these individuals, in order to do business with my group, they had to bring in on deposit at least $5 million in relationship. So we really worked with the big boys, and it was a lot of fun. And I left that job because I don't know how many people listen to this are entrepreneurs or business owners or actually looking to maybe eventually quit their job. Corporate America was a wonderful foundation for me. Loved it. But then as I grew tired, the same repetitive work, you know, I had a very comfortable high six-figure income, worked only about 4 days a week. So if the president at the time that was managing me is listening to this, yes, I only worked 4 days a week. I took every Friday off. So there you had it. But I still I still always made my numbers, and I still always did my job. But it came to a point where I got really bored and I wanted something more. I just, unlike some people that are just okay with a nice salary and being a lifer in this company, if I were still there, there's no question. I would have a very comfortable living. I would probably be a president of some department or some market area or some state. And I would have literally millions in stock and also a huge pension. But I didn't want that. I wanted to build something on my own. And I've always been that type. I'm very aggressive when it comes down to business. I love to make money. I love working with people, and I love to learn. And I felt I was hindered because I wasn't learning anymore. So I quit my job when I went down to Costa Rica and realized that Latin America at that time, there was just an enormous opportunity in the country, because this was in the early 2000s, actually back in 2001. Went down there on a surf trip. And fell in love with the country, came back, obviously resigned, and then started my real estate brokerage in Costa Rica. So unlike, you know, living in California, I've lived in some of the most beautiful places in the United States. I love living by the beach. So if you're a beach person, I am just like you. I love everything about the ocean. I love waking up, and I love the salt air that just kind of permeates in the morning. And sometimes when you have the June gloom, like you have in on the West Coast in California, you wake up to that fog. It's just beautiful to me, and it's so relaxing. So when I first moved to California, I moved to Malibu, worked in LA and South Bay, then eventually moved to Huntington Beach, and then finally resided in Newport Beach. So I always loved the beach. Went every single day. I've always either lived across the street from the beach or just a few blocks away. So I'm a beach guy, and my whole family is too. But the thing is that, like you, the people that are listening to this right now, or my new listeners, so welcome. Living in the United States, or in Australia, New Zealand, or other parts of the world, we have a wonderful, beautiful coast. But the problem is, there's no value. So I wanted Newport Beach. I wanted everything about Newport Beach. I wanted accessibility to the big cities. So Newport Beach is a small city, but I wanted to be close to a big city like Irvine, or even going up north to LA County, or really anywhere. I wanted accessibility to stuff, restaurants, great food, shopping, lots of things to do, because a beach city can be boring. And it was nice living in Orange County because everything is just not too far away, obviously with bad traffic. And the same exact thing too, if you live in Sydney or Melbourne or Auckland or even the coastal side of Spain or Portugal. But the problem is that the value isn't there. It's expensive to live in California, and you all know it. Extremely expensive. So I was missing that value piece. So I searched and I searched, basically looking for that replacement. And I wasted a lot of time in Latin America. And that is one of my biggest regrets. They always say that obviously hindsight is 20/20. And yes, if I do look back at it now, if I can go back in time and tell myself one thing, I would say, Will, do not waste your time in Latin America. Forget about Costa Rica, forget about all that stuff, because it doesn't suit you. And I'll get to my personality in just a second. You need to go back to Asia. You need to go there, because that's where you're going to thrive. That's where you're going to feel comfortable, and that's when you get the most value. And also that is where your business is just going to take off. You know, obviously do some business in Latin America and Costa Rica, but not much. It's not my focus. So the problem with Latin America is, number one, on the business side, is the work ethic isn't there. It's a different type of culture. Some of you may like it, but then some of you like me, that's very fast paced. So it's a go, 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 make a decision now. I don't want to do something tomorrow. I don't want to do something next month or next year. I want to do it now. Let's close the deal now. I'm tired of this going back and forth, dinner after dinner, drinks after drinks, and you still, 1-2 years later, still can't make a decision. That is the problem with the Latin culture. It's a very, very lax culture, and you can't change it. But I tried to work in that culture, and it was very, very frustrating for me. Nobody can make a decision. Nobody wants to make any money. And trust and loyalty was also very difficult. You know, there's no such thing as an exclusive listing. It's like if someone tells you, okay, I'm gonna have you an exclusive listing broker for this large parcel, but they still have it listed with 20 other brokers. So the loyalty wasn't there. So I quickly departed from Latin America 10 years ago. So I've been here in Thailand for 10 years. And I searched high and low, folks. So I didn't just go to Costa Rica and say, okay, this is not a country for me, I need to go. But I searched high and low. So my family and I have been going to Mexico, going to Latin America, basically almost all my life here in the United States. So I came to the States when I was in third grade. My brother was obviously younger than me. And we love the fish. So my parents would take us to Mexico, went throughout Mexico, the mainland and Baja, fished everywhere. We loved it. Always thought down the road, like, yes, we're going to retire in Mexico and we're going to have a beautiful home here. And that was always the plan. Been everywhere. Everywhere in Central America, South America. But still, I couldn't find my Newport Beach. There's always something missing. The beach communities in these Latin countries were either like going to Cancun or Mazatlan, where it's all a bunch of tourists, everyone's trying to rip you off, lots of petty theft, lots of crime. And obviously, there's a big, huge cartel problem, and violence is a huge problem in Mexico. So that was a deterrent for me. I didn't like that. And even though Costa Rica is one of the most educated countries in the world, I mean, 97% of the population knows how to read and write. That's way higher than the United States. No standing military, Costa Ricans are nice. But the beach cities, the towns, were so tiny. There was nothing to do there. I'm talking like 6,000 people, 10,000 people. Maybe now some cities have 20 or 30,000 people. Where here, I mean, it's, you go to Pattaya Jomtien, Hua Hin, you go to Phuket, and you got mega malls, you got everything you want. So I needed something more. And then after a while, the value wasn't there. When I first went to Costa Rica, and also looked in other places like Nicaragua, Colombia, looked at, obviously went to Belize, went to all in Mexico, up and down the coast, everything was just getting too expensive. Real estate was getting expensive, cost of living was getting expensive, and then as a foodie, I just can't eat Latin food all the time. And being in Latin America and being an Asian, I love my Asian cuisine, and they make some of the worst Asian cuisine in the world, aside from the French. The French make the absolute worst Asian cuisine. And being able to have accessibility to a very wide range of food is very, very important to me. Not important to me just as an Asian, but important to me as a foodie. So those of you listening to this, I don't care where you're from, but most likely you're a foodie. One of the great things about travel is not just experiencing the culture and looking at sights, but also eating the cuisine. And when you have to eat Central American food, black beans and rice, plantains and some meat and some fish, and that's really what their specialty is, it gets boring. And then if you go out and try to find some Japanese restaurant, Chinese restaurant, or it's just, they put their Latin twist to it and it just doesn't taste the same. It's horrible, actually. So the growing cost of living in Latin America didn't suit me. And then one day, I have a production company called Compass Group Productions, and worked with House Hunters International and HGTV for 8 years. And one night, one of my very, very good friends, he's from Laos, and he's a refugee from Laos, he and his girlfriend approached me and said, hey, I am actually thinking, or we're actually thinking about going back to my refugee camp in Thailand. Because when he was very young, his father was in the military, high-ranking colonel in Laos, on the opposing side, the side that lost. So overnight, he and his brothers and sisters had to flee the country, and they went to Thailand. They went to a refugee camp in Thailand, and from there, the whole family was split up. Some went to the States, and some went to France. And so my friend said, I have not been back to my refugee camp in Thailand since I left. So it's been over 30 years. And he said, "Well, I need some closure. I need to go back. And I also haven't seen my mom." And his mom passed away. And it was very, very tough for him. And he's like, "I need some closure. I want to go back. Let's do a documentary about that." I said, "That'd be great." So I took my camera gear. We left and we arrived here in Thailand on New Year's Eve. And my friend really did it up. We got a presidential suite at the Sofitel on Sukhumvit Road. I mean, this place, it was huge. We had a plunge pool, two large patios. You can see it on a documentary. And we had our own butler. So we kicked off New Year's here in Bangkok. And the very next day, we had to head up to the Isan region up north. So we had to go to Ubon. So Ubon, I think it's Ubon, it's kind of like the central part of Thailand on the east side, just almost bordering Laos. And that's where his refugee camp is. And Ubon is not a small city. I mean, it's fairly large. And there's like 6 or 7 universities there. So there's a lot of universities and colleges there. And a lot of expats actually live there too, especially a lot of European expats. So the long story short is, we're supposed to be here for 1 month. And we did the documentary. It was quite moving. My friend got his closure. We had a wonderful time, and then we split up. They went to Koh Samui, which is an island on the Gulf of Thailand. It's more for couples. And I decided to head to Bangkok and spend the rest of my trip there. So I came down to Bangkok, and when I was in Ubon, I was like, this place is okay. You know, it's kind of boring. Nobody speaks English, because in the Isan region, nobody really speaks English unless you're in Chiang Mai. But when you're in big cities, like in Bangkok, everybody speaks English. Phattiajom Tien, Hua Hin, Phuket, Koh Samui, like I said, up north in Chiang Mai. Everyone speaks English. But when you start looking at these little regions, like in Isan, like in Ubon, or Udon Thani, which is up north on the northern, way on the northern, the northeast side corner, or even in Chiang Rai, very few people speak English. So when I was in Ubon, I'm like, okay, people here, I love the Thai culture. People are so freaking nice. They're so calm. They're warm. They're compassionate. They have great manners. I say it so much on podcasts. Manners is very important to me. Showing good manners to someone is respecting another person. That's why it's very important, and that's how I was raised, is my parents always taught us good manners. Make sure you have good manners around people. And I was missing in the United States. So when I went down to Bangkok, I stayed at the Marriott Residences. It's right by Central World, and it's in Ratchaprasong, and I was basically like a 3-minute walk to the BTS. And the great thing about these residences is that it's like a 500 square feet one bedroom condo. Freaking gorgeous. And it was such a great price, like 100, I think at the time it was like 100, 120 bucks a night. And then you had a killer buffet breakfast in the morning. What's great about Asia, breakfast buffets usually always come with your hotel stay. And that is pretty much most throughout Asia. One of the great things, and the breakfast and buffets are awesome everywhere. So as I set out to explore Bangkok, and man, did I walk on the average day, I was walking 5 to 10 miles. I was walking everywhere, exploring everything. And at the end of the trip, when I came back, I was sitting on the plane. I flew Cathay Pacific. And I said, I think I found my paradise. I think I found the place that I've been searching for this whole time. And folks, if you're wondering, how long it took me to find this place, it basically took me my whole adult life. So before I jump into it, let's talk about the demographics of who is listening to my podcast. The people that are listening to my podcast, the largest demographic are the millennials. And these are the folks that are in there, basically 28 to 34. And then my next set are my Gen Xers. Let's just say mid-40s to, early 50s. And then the next one are my baby boomers. But two biggest demographics are millennials and the Gen Xers. And then out of that, it's kind of it's the ratio is obviously higher in male, but not by much. I'm kind of, where am I? About 60-40, males and females. And the people that are listening to this, the vast majority of my listeners come from the United States, are coming from places that usually are very cold, like in the Midwest or in the East Coast. But I get a lot of listeners from the Southwest and from the West Coast, especially from California. Then my next set of listeners are coming from the UK, and then other parts of Europe, Germany, even going up to the Russian Federation. I have a lot of listeners from Australia and New Zealand. So basically any English-speaking country are in my top five. And then my next set are the Asian countries. The reason why I'm telling you this is that you're not the only one that's searching for that paradise, searching for that value. You may be living in Auckland right now, and you're seeing the massive price increase of everything. Auckland is one of the most expensive cities in the world. Same with Sydney. And you want the same lifestyle. You want to be by the beach. You want to have accessibility to everything. But even though you may be somewhat well off, you're still worried about having to sacrifice, as you get older, your quality of living. And a lot of people don't think about that. People think about outliving their money, but what people don't think about, and that's one of the things that I really, really stress about in this podcast and nobody else does because of my experience, is sacrificing, as you get older, your quality of living. As you get older, and as most people get older, their quality of living goes down. You know, when you throw out numbers like $1 million, you can't retire on $1 million anymore. It's because Western countries are just too expensive. So as you get older and older, as the medical bills pile up, because most likely you're getting larger and larger and unhealthier due to sedentary lifestyle, you have to go see the doctors more, and with rising health care, your quality goes down. And that also means that you can't afford stuff. You may have to downgrade your home. You may not be able to eat out as much. And like you, I didn't want that. I do very well for myself. I've lived in some very beautiful areas. And I can still live in these areas with my wife. I'm married to a Thai Chinese wife. I'll talk more about her in just a few minutes. But the problem with living in the States is that I'm afraid that we're going to have to lower our standard of living as we get older. I didn't want that for us. And you shouldn't either. You shouldn't have to sacrifice as you get older. You've worked hard. Even if you're just a millennial that is approaching 40, you still worked your ass off to get to where you are, to accrue those millions. I mean, I do okay. My wife and I do okay. But we're not worth tens, 20, or 30, or $100 million. But we're fine. And we will be fine still living in the States. But still, a bad health emergency, something should change. that can impact our life. It can severely impact our enjoyment, our lifestyle choices. And we didn't want that. And like you, as you're going out there searching, as I searched throughout Europe, because I really thought that Europe was going to be it for me, because I love Europe. I love France and Spain, all these places, but still is way too expensive. I looked in other parts of Asia. I'm Taiwanese and Japanese. Taiwan is one of the best places. Taipei, Taiwan is the number one place for millennials to work and live. Google that if you don't believe me. It's a wonderful city. It's as clean as Singapore, but not as expensive. It has tons of opportunity. And the Taiwanese, because the occupation of the Japanese for almost 100 years, we have a lot of the Japanese culture within us as Taiwanese. And so it's a wonderful, wonderful culture. People are kind, compassionate, and they're honorable. Very, very different from mainland Chinese. So you can't say that we're Chinese, we're Taiwanese, and with more of an influence from Japan. But those countries are getting too expensive. And then Philippines, it's just too dang dirty and just too out of control. And when you look at other parts like Vietnam, Laos, Cambodia, too underdeveloped, and you still can't own real estate really outright. Vietnam, it's a land lease, like Mexico. I don't like leases. I want to own it outright. I want to hold a deed in my hand. I want the deed to either have my name or my LLC. I want 100% ownership. I want control over my property, not a land lease for 20 years or 30 years or 50 years. I don't want that down here in Thailand. So if you fit in a demographic, or if you look at this demographic, it ranges. People are listening to me from their 20s all the way up to the early 60s. Because they're all in search of one thing. It doesn't matter what age group you are. They're looking for a future place to retire where they can have an elevated lifestyle for the rest of their life, where they never have to sacrifice, where they don't have to worry about running out of money or outliving their money, where they don't have to sacrifice to saying that, okay, well, I'm going to live in this town, but I'm missing my shopping. I'm missing my mega malls. I'm missing my favorite type of restaurants. Or if I'm in this other city, oh my God, it's great, but there's freaking tourists everywhere, there's pickpockets everywhere, and the locals are unfriendly because they freaking hate the tourist. I need a little peace and quiet. If you're like me, and you've been searching this whole time, well, let me save you the hassle. It's here. Let me tell you a little bit about my personality. I'm a nice guy, and I am proud to say that. I am very respectful. I am not an arrogant a-hole. I've had lots of success in my life where I walk into the room where I'm commanding or demanding respect. I am not that kind of a-hole, and I don't have that kind of arrogance. I am humble, I'm respectful, and I have good manners. Because if I do that, that shows you respect, and I want to earn your respect. That's more important to me. I don't say hateful things. I think before I speak. Very rarely do I put my foot in my mouth, unless I'm frustrated or someone pushes me to the edge, then I can get very upset. But I'm calm. I'm nice. Not a lot of things bother me. My wife is the same. We get along with everyone. I read a lot. I read about, in addition to stuff for work, I read an additional 3 to 5 hours just learning about stuff, learning about the universe, quantum mechanics, spirituality, religion, travel, economics, finance. Cryptocurrency, health, fitness, another passion of mine, production, taking pictures. I love to just learn new things. I'm just curious. I'm just naturally curious. I want to know what's going on. What's new and exciting? So I read. And I am the type of person, I would rather read an article than watch it on YouTube. So if there is a video that's explaining the same exact thing in the article, I will always go to the article to read it first, then watch a video. I just like to read. That's just me. And then I'm very into health and fitness. Been working out since I was 14 years old, since I was a freshman in high school, and never stopped. I still hold certifications. In college, I've held my certifications as a personal trainer from ACE to ISSA. Now I hold my certifications with the NASM, National Academy of Sports Medicine, and as a master trainer. So health and fitness is not something that I look to make money. It's just a passion of mine. I get these certifications because the curiosity to learn more. Maybe down the road, there might be something I might do in my retirement that's related to health and fitness, but that's just a passion of mine. It's a hobby. Working out to me is not work. It's fun. I love it. You know, because of these clampdowns and these lockdowns, and you know, gyms are the last to open here. We just came out of another lockdown as of September 1st. But the gyms are still closed. So, you know, I've been doing a TRX thing in our home. I have a TRX, I have sandbags, kettlebells. And man, do I freaking love those online workouts. If you haven't tried it, Apple Fitness Plus is great. Les Mills On Demand is awesome. What else did we really like? I tried Chris Helmsworth's Centered Fitness, awesome. What else? These online platforms, I haven't tried iFit yet, and I think they just had an IPO. But these programs are great. You could do everything at home, and you really don't need a lot of equipment. That's why I really truly feel that the traditional gym is going to go away, because COVID, we're going to live with COVID. That's just going to be part of our lives now. And I think that as more and more people realize that, and as home builders realize that, they're going to start developing and changing the way they design homes, where homes need to have a real designated space for an office, not a room that looks like a bedroom, a room that actually looks like an office, and then another room that's a gym. So we do our workouts at home, yoga, Pilates, body combat, HIIT training, Tabata training. It's great. I mean, you guys should really try it. But the other thing too, got into running. So I used to hate running as a kid, and now I can run 4 or 5 miles, and I've never been able to do that before. So got into running. I like to challenge myself and try something new. And then the other thing too about my personality is that I've been traveling all my life. My parents dragged my brother and I all over the world every single summer. So every summer we would go back home to Taiwan and then spend some time there and in Japan, Guam, and also in Hawaii, and then other parts of the world. And at the time we hated it, but man, am I thankful my parents that they did that, because it really expanded us and helped us become more centered and better kids, better adults for that. So we traveled a lot as a kid, and that hasn't changed. And then the next thing too is that I'm an individual that loves people, but then again, I'm extremely introverted. I know that just kind of like, I just had a brain fart. Sorry, it's so late right now. Can't think the word I'm trying to describe, but all I'm saying is that I know it doesn't sound right, but I love being around people, but then again, I need my space. My wife and I are quite introverted, and introverts are actually quite common among many, many famous, successful people, from Bill Gates to Steve Jobs to Many, many people that you would never believe that are introverted are actually introverted, and I am one of them. So I don't have a lot of friends anymore. I used to have a lot of friends. I have a very, very close, tight-knit of maybe 10 friends that I speak to. That's about it. And my wife and I are best friends. You know, all my life, I have always seen the ups and downs of marriage and the challenge of marriage. All my friends, pretty much, I grew up with in high school. I can be confident enough to say that 90 to 95% of them are divorced. And the United States has one of the highest divorce rates in the world. It's a challenge. You're probably one of them. You've probably been divorced, remarried, maybe been divorced again, or maybe going through divorce right now. But marriage has always been tough. That's why I've never been open to getting married, never found the right person, because I'm a little finicky. I want someone to be like myself, but also someone that's very independent. And I could never find her. And out of the blue, through another friend that introduced me to another individual that's in the same industry as me, I met my wife, and I met her here in Thailand. The most amazing person. She speaks fluent English. Her undergrad major was in English. She's brilliant. Graduated number one in her class in her master's degree. Number one in one of the most top-ranked universities here in Thailand. I can't pronounce the university name, but there is a picture of me in social media in front of that university. And it's right by the palace here. Graduated number one in her class. And then got a full ride scholarship, if she wanted it, to Syracuse University in the States to get her PhD. Turned it down, and the reason why is because in Thailand, if you are going to get a full ride from the government, especially getting your doctorate, you are obligated to work as a university professor for 10 years, and she didn't want to do that. So I completely understand her for turning that down. But she's brilliant, and she's just like me, but she's female. We get along so well. 99% of the things that she likes to do, I like to do. We think the same. Our birthdays are in the same month, literally a week apart. We have the same type of upbringing. And she's the most amazing person. She's my best friend. Unlike some people who are married that don't like spending time with their significant others, they actually purposely have girls' night out, boys' night out. We don't do that. We love spending time together. And I think that's one of the benefits of getting married older. And my wife is very understanding too, because we've discussed about going back to the States. And she doesn't want to. She's like, I love my country. Our money goes further here. We have more things to do. So I think I'd rather live here. And I said, okay, I agree with you. So for those out there, doesn't matter what demographic, male, female, divorced, not divorced, widowed, whatever it may be, if you're looking for a replacement of the wonderful place that you live now, but you're worried about future finances, you want to subscribe to my podcast. Because this is what I talk about. For 20 years, I work with developers, helping them develop and market real estate that is just marketed to expats like yourself. I understand this business. I understand your behaviors, what your challenges are, and what you go through. That's how I differ from any other podcast about expat life. If you want to know day-to-day news, what the Thai government is doing, or our taxation, new laws, new little quirks, then there are plenty of other expat type of podcast for that. That's not me. Because what I offer is something very, very different. I'm not a school teacher that came to Thailand and then decided that, okay, now I'm an expert. I'm not some millennial that came here backpacking and then decided that I'm going to be an expert. I'm an expert because I've been doing this for 20 years, placing people outside of Western countries into a second world country to better their life. There isn't anyone on this planet that has more experience in doing that than I do. And also, there isn't anyone that has the same experience that's going to give you information that is relevant to what I went through. So when you listen to, for an example, like other podcasts like International Living, they're one of the big boys. Yeah, they're great. They have a lot of information, but behind everything, they're pitching their own real estate projects. Yes, we're all a for-profit company. I'm a for-profit company. I do these podcasts to educate you, and yes, to get clientele that's going to buy real estate. But do you see me marketing my own developments? That's a conflict of interest. And that's what organizations like International Living does. And there's nothing wrong with that. They're very successful and they have nice projects. But then again, that's how I differ. I'm going to give you true to life. I mean, here's International Living. They're pitching right now. They're really big on still Central America. I still believe nobody should be in Latin America right now because, excuse me, a little bug in my throat. Because the way that Latin America is going, and listen to some of my prior podcasts about this, and through experience, Latin America is going to be a failed state. Mexico, all the countries of Central America, South America, they will become a failed state. You know why? Government corruption, crime, serious drought. So if farmers that have been working on their piece of land for generations after generations, and all of a sudden because of drought, they can't grow anything, they can't make any money, and their land is worthless. So where are they going to go? They're going to head up north of the United States. That's why they're coming in droves, folks. Because Latin America is a future failed state that is not going to change. It doesn't get better, it gets worse. Now, when you come here to Asia, it's getting better. Don't just take Thailand for an example, because look at our infrastructure, look at our BTS, look at our airports, look at our expansion of everything. But take a look at some of the other poorer countries, Vietnam, Cambodia, Laos. All countries where there are major organizations like Microsoft and IBM that are now setting up shop. Because these countries have money. Remember, Asia is the factory of the world. And we're going to continue to be the factory of the world. Then you look at even Philippines. They're the call center of the world. And they're getting richer. Singapore, one of the most expensive countries to live in the world, micro countries. It's also considered the tech hub of Asia. I do believe Thailand will be the next tech hub in Asia. Taiwan already kind of is, because there's huge semiconductor companies. And also the owner of the company that builds basically iPhones, Foxconn, is actually Taiwanese. He's the richest guy in Taiwan. But I believe Bangkok, Thailand will be the next tech hub. So when you look at Asia, we're only getting better, not worse. Governments are being more open to entrepreneurship, opening foreigners, come in, bring your money, buy real estate, open your businesses, open your bank accounts. We want you to come. We want to open companies. We want you to provide jobs for our citizens. We want you to spend money here. Where in Latin America, it's corruption, increase in cost of living. Middle class is gone. There's no middle class. Where in Asia, the middle class is getting bigger. And that's where you want to be. You want to be in places where the middle class are getting bigger and bigger. America, middle class is slowly disappearing. Latin America, there's really no middle class other than Costa Rica. So that's how I differ from anybody else. I'm not just some teacher, some backpacker that came to this country, lived here for a couple of years or even a decade saying, hey, I'm now an expert. You're not an expert. You haven't worked around the world, working in real estate, working with buyers that are looking to relocate from the UK, from London, England, to Costa Rica, or to Belize, or to Panama, or to Thailand. I have. That's how we differ. That's how I differ. So if you're tuning this podcast and you're like, well, I'm missing like up-to-date news, go to other podcasts for that. Go to Bangkok Post. That's not what I do. My expertise is expat life, how to find paradise, how to make the right transition in a seamless transition, how to identify what's good and what's bad for an expat, making sure you're checking off everything in your list and then some. I say that a lot. And I talk about finances, and I talk about real estate. I'm a real estate guy. That's my business. I don't make money these podcasts. I make zero money. I do it to educate folks that I believe that would have a better life here, that are having a horrible, miserable life, living paycheck to paycheck in Western countries. And I also do these podcasts for affluent. I have another series of podcasts coming out of why more and more millionaires are moving here to Thailand. And that is a freaking God honest truth. And if you're wondering, why would a millionaire want to move to Thailand? Man, you're in for a shock. Life is better. If you're a millionaire in LA, you're just a dime a dozen. And a millionaire means nothing. Being a millionaire in Newport Beach, nothing. I was the poorest kid in my block of 21 homes. As I say so many times, the two brothers across the street from me, worth $500 million. The guy that owns a house a couple of doors down, the owner of Etney Shoes. Another guy across the street to the right of me, he basically creates all the frozen foods for Wolfgang Puck's. Guys next door to me, a very successful asset management company. Guy down the street, very successful architecture firm. Surrounded by multi-millionaires, people that are worth way more than me. I was the youngest and the poorest guy that lived in my block. So being a millionaire in Newport Beach meant nothing. But if you had 20, 30, 50, okay, yeah, maybe you're somebody. You know, when I was selling my home in Newport, I had a guy roll up in his brand new Bentley, and is an older guy. And he was looking at my house I had for sale. I was selling it myself. And so we're talking about playing. And I think I had a picture or I had my headset lying around. He's like, do you fly? I said, yeah, I bought a plane. He's like, what do you have? I said, I have an Osiris. I'm learning how to fly, get my private pilot's license. And he's like, why don't you buy a jet? I'm just like looking at him like, how much money do you think I have, dude? Why don't I just buy a jet? Yeah, I can buy a jet for $1 million, maybe an old Citation, but the upkeep and cost, it costs like $1,500 to $2,000 per flight hour to upkeep those things. It's just, that's a stupidity that you get in places like Newport Beach. I was tired of that shit. So that's what I'm gonna talk about. That's why there's so many more millionaires that are moving to places like here in Thailand to get away from that nonsense. They want to be around better people, create a better environment, not just blood-sucking leeches trying to get free stuff from them or ride their coattails. And we're seeing more and more in that here. Like I said, over the last year, I've done more sight unseen multi-million dollar sales than I've ever done in my life. And then for those of you that aren't multi-millionaires, this is also the right podcast for you. Because I talk about the generalities of living here, like I say, is you can live on $1,000 a month. Honestly. So let me just kind of break it down right now. $1,000 a month per person. Let's just say it's just you. You're a 25-year-old individual and you've saved us some money. What can you do for $1,000 a month? Well, for $150, that's going to get you a one-bedroom or one-bedroom studio fully furnished in a good location. You're still going to be close to the BTS, so you have public transportation. It's still within walking distance to restaurants and other stuff. And then your utilities are going to cost, and that's high-speed internet, cable TV with English-speaking channels, water, electricity, gas, the whole nine yards will be no more than $50 a month. That's $200. Now you have $800 to spend on anything else. And you're like, $800, that's nothing. No, it is something. When your average meal is only $1.50 to $2, it goes a long way. A very long way. Healthcare here is dirt cheap. And it's excellent healthcare. We have some people from around the world come to Thailand for dental work because it's a fraction of the price in Western countries and they do a better job. People come to famous hospitals here in Thailand, like Bangkok Hospital and Bumrungrad, to do major procedures. Also, for those that are looking for cosmetic surgery, Korea is number one in the world. Thailand is number two of having the best cosmetic surgeons in the world. And you're still going to get it at a fraction of the price. You're not going to be going to Mexico or even a place in Costa Rica where some massage therapist is doing some sort of crazy-ass procedure that is going to get you infected. No, these are licensed individuals that are here practicing. And most of these individuals are educated in Western countries like the United States, Australia, New Zealand, or even the UK. So you have nothing to worry about. That's what makes this country fantastic. And I talk about these things for the person that isn't a multimillionaire. So my podcast, I have a range of different shows. The 10-Minute Expat, I don't always fall within 10 minutes, so I apologize because usually there's just a lot to talk about. But I talk about expat living here in Thailand. I talk about some things that really are going to apply to you moving here. And then for Compass Concierge, I talk about more information related to the affluent clientele, people that are worth millions are looking to move here. And then for the international investor, that's for everyone. I talk about real estate and why investing in real estate in Thailand, it really makes a good idea for you to balance your portfolio, whether it's your crypto portfolio or your equity portfolio. It's a nice balance because the price to get into real estate here is as low as $50,000. You can buy a piece of real estate. Can you buy that in any of the Western countries you're from? No, you cannot. Not even in places like in Arizona or Las Vegas, Nevada, where it used to be cheap. Just to buy a studio would be $150,000. The average price now in Las Vegas is now getting close to $400,000, same with Phoenix. Even Tucson, Arizona is getting expensive. Kind of where I grew up as a kid when I first landed in the United States. But here in Thailand, you can start your real estate portfolio as low as $50,000 buying your first property. So your price of entry to get into this business, to create your first portfolio of real estate, is small. And then in addition to that is why it behooves everyone to have Thai real estate. And I talk about this a lot because it comes from my financial background. Like I said, I'm not some schmuck that walk off the street. I'm a banker. I'm a wealth manager. I manage money, I manage assets. I talk about Plan Z. Plan Z is basically a plan that I created for my clientele, my affluent clientele, when everything else goes sideways. They still have this to fall back on. Even if you're rich or whatever financial situation you're in, You always want to have a home or homes here in Thailand, free and clear, because should anything go sideways in your life, you can still come here to Thailand, have a home or homes that's free and clear, and still basically live on pennies on a dollar. That is your plan Z. You can't do that in the States, can't do it in the UK, can't do it in Australia. You go bankrupt, you go bankrupt, you're homeless, you live in your car. No, if you went bankrupt, and let's just say you have a couple condos here paid off, get a one-way ticket here, get your butt here, because I've already planned everything. I even got your Thai Elite visa, so you have multi-entry visa for 20 years. Got your homes all set up, already bought your cars for you, fully furnished. And everything can also be in a Thai LLC if you prefer, because estate planning is something that I did as a part of my wealth management services, not just when I worked at the bank, but also my company. We put you in front of the right attorneys, right estate planners that are licensed, and then you just live the rest of your life here. But if you didn't have this plan Z and you went bankrupt, you live in your car. You go live in your best friend's couch. You move back home with mom and dad. That's how I differ, folks. That's how my podcasts differ. Thailand is much more than a place for retirement and fun in the sun. Thailand is future happiness. Thailand is ongoing happiness with zero sacrifices. And for those of you, men and women, that are divorced or without someone else, that wants to find someone, that's had no luck on Match.com or whatever the application you guys use, come here. Because for men, obviously, you are an open target if you don't make the right decisions. I've had podcasts about that. But there are educated women here in Bangkok, not from the Isan region, educated women, college degrees. So let me tell you, folks, if a Thai woman or even any woman in any other second world country comes up to you and says, yes, I'm college educated, tell them you want to see proof. And if they show you proof, you better make sure that that's not something downloaded from the internet. But here in Bangkok, there are educated and beautiful, respectable women that prefer to date foreigners as opposed to Thai men. And I get into that in many podcasts. Just look back at some of the other ones, dating for men. And for women, you're not really going to want to date Thai men. There are very few good ones, but there are some good ones. But you're going to want to find them here in Bangkok. They're very successful. And Asian men love white girls. So if you're a white girl with blonde hair, you'd be very popular. But the other thing too is you have, because Bangkok is such a melting pot of people from all over. When I first came here to Bangkok, I was like, no way. Look at all these people from all over Europe. Southern Pacific, like Australia, New Zealand, United, and North America. So ladies, when you come here, most likely you're going to find a great guy that's from another country, maybe from Sweden, from London, Australia, Canada. Because people that travel are the best. They're most well-rounded. You know, I know a friend of mine, she met her husband actually here in Thailand. I think he's Danish. So folks, I'm not just throwing BS at you. Thailand is everything that I say it is, and then some. I've been here for 10 years. This is where I love, this is where I'm going to be for the rest of my life, and I have zero regrets. This is how I differ from other podcasts. And I thank you so much for listening, and I hope you subscribe, and I hope to see you in Thailand very soon.